Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I will turn the meeting over to your host, Marky Flannery. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today and for joining at this later time. We are continuing to closely monitor the COVID-19 situation. Unfortunately, many states are seeing an ongoing spike in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, and healthcare facilities are under strain in many parts of the country. While New York State still has one of the lower rates of new cases in the U.S., it is reporting a 51% increase in new COVID cases over the past week. The statewide positive test rate has also continued to rise and now stands at about 2.8%. And the rate in New York City is just about the same. As you may recall, Mayor de Blasio set a 3% positive rate as the threshold for shutting down in-person classes in the city's public schools. For the moment, the schools remain open, but we'll need to see what happens moving forward in that regard. New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania are also seeing spikes in COVID rates. So, as we get ready for Thanksgiving and the holiday season, it's more important than ever that VNSNY employees follow all the protocols and procedures we have established for both field staff and staff who have returned to the office, and that we all stay vigilant and keep practicing preventive measures, including social distancing, mask wearing, and hand washing. I also want to urge everyone to think carefully about how you're planning to get together with your families and other loved ones over the holidays. Social gatherings in people's homes appear to be a major driver of this recent nationwide spike. So while we all recognize the need to connect with those we love, please use your common sense and look for ways that you can connect safely. That includes avoiding indoor gatherings with people outside of your immediate family group. On the positive side, I spoke last week about the promising early data from the new Pfizer COVID vaccine. This week, there's more good news about another COVID vaccine made by the company Moderna, which appears to have an effectiveness rate of better than 90%. Both companies are talking about having a supply in the millions of doses by the end of the year. But as I said last week, it will take considerably longer to ramp up distribution into the billions, which is what we'll need to truly control this virus. So again, we need to stay vigilant in the meantime. I also want to remind everyone that we have rapid COVID tests available for employees. This week, we're offering those tests to all staff at our 220 East 42nd Street location between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Wednesday at the 41st Street Partners in Care entrance. Please show your ID card, and you'll need to have the Navica app loaded on your smartphone in advance to expedite the process. On Thursday and Friday, we will offer those tests at our Queens office from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Next week, Monday through Wednesday from 7:30 to 6:30 at 220 at the same location, and on Friday from 7:30 to 6:30 in Queens. No testing will be done on Thanksgiving Day. As we determine if demand increases, we will adjust locations, days, and times. On another important matter, throughout this pandemic, VNSNY Home Care has been providing virtual visits when it was in the best interest of the patients, their family, and our staff. But we don't get reimbursed for those visits. Recently, members of Congress introduced legislation that requires Medicare to reimburse home health agencies for telehealth care during a pandemic. But to get the bill passed, we need your help. Yesterday, I sent a call to action to all VNSNY staff, including home health aides, asking you to contact your representatives to support this important legislation. The link will connect you automatically with your own representative, so it couldn't be easier. More than 340 VNSNY employees have participated so far, and I thank all of you. If you haven't taken action yet, you can do so through the email I sent yesterday or by visiting the VNSNY Government Affairs SharePoint site and clicking on the VNSNY Action Center. It took me all of a minute to do this, so please, please help. And I thank you for your help on this important issue. We had several wonderful virtual events last week, and I want to thank everyone involved. They included our inspiring Esprit Award ceremony last Tuesday, as well as an uplifting Veterans Day event for the veterans on our staff, and our virtual VNSNY Gala, which featured a special gala video presentation. You can watch that video by going to vnsnygala.org, and you can see that information on our website, on our frontline pages as well. I also want to remind everyone about the matching contributions from our Strength From Within employee giving campaign, in which I and other members of our executive leadership team are matching all employee contributions up to $40,000. This means that whatever you contribute, your gift will actually be doubled. So it's a great way to maximize your donation. Any Strength From Within donations you make will go to support our charitable care and community benefit programs. And you can choose exactly which program you want to support. So thank you in advance for any contribution that you're able to make to this year's Strength From Within campaign. I'll quickly go through a few other reminders. First, the deadline for our employee engagement pulse survey has been extended to this Friday. We've heard back from 67% of our staff so far, but our goal is to get as close to 100% as possible. So please, if you haven't completed the survey, it will take 5 minutes to do. Just click on the daily email reminder that you will get from Willers Towers Watson and enter your responses. I'm really excited and hopeful to hear from all of you. So thank you in advance for your help on this. All employees also have to complete our annual compliance training by the end of November in order to continue working. So if you haven't done the training yet, please put that at the top of your to-do list. Those of you who have online access should have received an email link that will take you directly to the training module. This is also open enrollment period for VNSNY staff who want to make changes to their benefit elections. This applies to all management, administrative, and non-union professional employees regularly scheduled to work at least 21.75 hours per week. You have until November 27th to change your medical, dental, life, or AD&D insurance benefits, add supplemental or voluntary benefits, or add or drop a dependent. To make changes, go to your workday inbox. The last deadline I'll mention is your flu shot. We have just 2 weeks to go before our December 1st deadline when all staff are required to either get a flu shot or submit a declination form. As I've said before, I hope everyone decides to get the shot and not submit a declination form, especially with COVID-19 on the rise again. Since being vaccinated against the flu not only helps prevent the flu, but also avoids confusion about whether someone has COVID or the flu when they show flu-like symptoms. You'll find complete information on how to get a free flu shot by clicking on the Fight the Flu banner on the VNSNY intranet homepage, or by going to the Partners in Care resource page on Frontline. I'll finish up by reminding everyone on this call that you can earn a bonus of up to $5,000 if you refer someone you know to VNSNY who then gets hired on an ongoing basis as a registered nurse or licensed practical nurse. All VNSNY and Partners in Care staff are eligible for this bonus. For details, go to the Partners in Care resource page and click on the Employee Referral Bonus Program link, or for non-Partners in Care staff, see the HR section of the intranet, or email HR Connect for more information about how you can qualify for the bonus. So that's my update for this week. I will now turn to the questions that were sent by email to the COVID-19 conference call email box. So the first question, good morning. Since it will be suggested to patients that the clinician can provide them with a mask if they don't have one. Will we be getting more than 10 masks a week? Tony, would you like to respond to that question?
Sure. Good morning. This is Tony Nelson, Vice President for Quality and Customer Experience. So we have masks available. In fact, Sal just gave out some masks this morning that we're going to distribute to the distribution centers. We got some donations of some nice cloth masks that we can give to you to give to patients to wear during their visits. And if you don't have those access, you can also give the patient a regular face mask. We should be encouraging patients as much as we can to be using the mask when we are visiting those patients each and every time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Can HR provide 2021 medical benefit charts that outline the options available? A chart like one that this person embedded in the email is helpful to compare the two PPO options. And there's currently nothing on HR Connect about 2021 benefits. There's still a chart posted with 2018 benefit information. A chart like this never seems to be available prior to the election period. Marion, can you advise on this request?
Yes, and this is Marion Haas, SVP Human Resources. Thanks for the question. The benefits chart that you've displayed here is found on HR Connect and will be updated for 2021. Meanwhile, there are many materials that are available, as well as workshops and helpful information through our open enrollment resources, including Health Advocate, our advocacy service for our health benefits, and the administrator of the new plan that we're offering, the HSA PPO plan. So there are many details to go through and many helpful resources. I will follow up with this person individually as well as make sure that access to the chart that you're referencing here is available. I apologize about the chart, the 2018 benefits chart that you're saying is still posted. We do often find that people discover outdated information on our intranet because we don't take down history from our SharePoint site, but alerting us to that, the fact that it's up there and it was found is helpful. Sometimes there are links that are have not been disabled, and that results in finding old information. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Marion. Next question. An email went out a couple of weeks ago stating that we can request monitors and headsets while we continue to work from home. I bought my own monitor during the summer. Has there been any discussion about reimbursing those people who already bought their own monitors? Michael, would you like to answer this question?
This is Michael Bernstein. Hi, I am the Chief Administrative Officer. Actually, Marky, of the questions that have come in, I don't have a definitive answer to this question in terms of reimbursement. Marion, not to put you on the spot, but is there anything
that you
might be able to...
Michael, I can provide a little bit of color on this one.
So, thank you.
First of all, we've actually heard from a number of staff who, because they're working from home, they're not spending money on commutation, and many people have went and bought their own monitor and are going to then keep the monitor. It's their own personal monitor. The monitors that we are making available are a standard monitor, and we're not able to use any other types of monitors. We don't want to have multiple different types of monitors through the organization. So if you already bought a monitor, it's yours to keep, but we're not. And again, managers need to sign off on any requests for monitors or headsets as well for staff working from home, but we're not able to reimburse staff who purchase their own monitor. So I think we could move on to the next question. Next question. I hope this email finds you in good health and spirit. I was just wondering what happened to all of the thousands of hours of donated PTO. Where did it go, and what was the result? There was a great deal of unused time as everyone has returned from furlough. So, Marion, can you answer this question?
Yes, I can. Thanks for the question. The PTO donation fund is still intact. We have not spent all of the hours that were donated, and we are now finding that there is need for those donated hours from many of our staff who are either going out on quarantine or for various reasons, either they have symptoms or they have been exposed to someone who is positive. Typically, the New York State sick time benefits had covered time off that was a result of being quarantined for these reasons, but there's a maximum benefit of 10 days for that, and we have found that people have been out multiple times. So we just identified a number of individuals in this situation, and we are working with the PTO Donation Fund Committee to provide them with donated PTO time. It's unfortunate that this second wave is now happening, and it seems like there will be a need for the funds that remain in the PTO Donation Fund, but it is still being used for the purpose that it was initially set up for people who have absences due to COVID that are not covered otherwise. So thanks for the question, and we'll keep the interest in it going.
Thank you. Next question. Will field workers be able to get a vaccine for COVID through BNSNY when it is available? If so, any chance that there's a tentative timetable and when it may possibly be made available? So there is no timetable yet because I don't believe those decisions have been made. We've had calls with the state health department and with the city health department, and they are still prioritizing who will get access and how the distribution will occur. Depending on the type of vaccine, there are different requirements. The Pfizer vaccine requires a certain temperature control and reconstituting. The Moderna vaccine is a different type. So we are hopeful that we will have a significant role in vaccinating the community and making vaccine available for our employees, but we do not have anything definitive on that yet. Next question was a repeat question from the same person about the donated PTO, so we've already responded to that. Next question. Are phone numbers blocked for the patient to be motivated to call our main number and to protect our privacy? That is understandable, and I agree 100%. The issue is that patients or family members won't answer calls from no caller ID, thinking it's a phone spam. Can our phone ID be changed to read BNSNY instead of no caller ID? So we agree with you. This is something that had been in place, and we are working to have this changed because we are trying to get. Yes. Michael, you want to take this?
I think I can add a little bit of backstory to this if it's okay. Again, it's Michael Bernstein. And I want to share with the person who asked this question and with others that unfortunately, at the moment, it is a yes or no, which is to say that either we unblock caller IDs or we don't. If you unblock the caller ID, what appears is the clinician's phone number and not our name, VNSNY. And at the moment, it isn't possible to change from the clinician's phone number appearing to just the letters VNSNY. So that's part of the difficulty here. As an individual, like the individual who asked this question, there are two ways you can choose to turn the ID block off. One is through our service desk, and the other is with one call to *82 code before the number. I don't have the full instructions there, but we'd be happy to get them to somebody. But the bottom line at the moment is that the person who asked this question has identified a true hurdle because patients' family members do not answer the phone when they see unknown caller. But at the same time, the solution of having it come up, VNSNY, is not something offered by Verizon. So on a case-by-case basis, through your supervisor, if you want to have your caller ID block turned off so that the people you're dealing with can see that it's you calling, that can be done, again, through our service desk or through a parallel process. Talk directly to your supervisor, and then that can be done. Thank you, Marky.
Michael, it's Marian Haas. I would add that the instructions that you provided about star 82, if you put that in front of the phone number you're calling, your phone number will be visible to the person you are calling. It's simply putting star 82 in front of the phone number that you're calling.
Thank you very much, Marian. Marky, I'm not hearing you.
Seems like we may have lost Marky.
Did we lose you?
Yes.
I'll do the next response. So I can confirm that Marky is trying to call back in. However, the next question is one that that I will share with everybody, and then we will provide an answer for it. The question was, bear with me 1 second as I'm toggling between things. The question is, any plans for computer systems replacements regards to the home care home base tablet? And again, this is Michael Bernstein speaking, and while I'm not specifically in the IT area, we did ask for an answer to this question in order to try to share. And what we know at the moment is we have no indications from Home Care Homebase that new tablets are required to run the point care application. And so if the person who asked the question does experience certain pain points in using the existing tablet, then our IT staff, particularly Michael Orlando or Robert Orlando, both would like to hear from the field clinicians so that we can address them. So there are no plans to change the tablets for Home Care Homebase, but if there are problems that you want to escalate, please go ahead and do so. I don't know if we have Marky Flannery back. So here we go. We're going to jump to the next question that says, the test that VNSNY performs on employees, is it a rapid test? I mean, how long does it take to get the results? What app on the phone is needed? Tony, I know you're on the call. Are you able to answer that question?
Absolutely, Michael. So the test that we perform is a rapid test. It's called Binex Now. It's from the Abbott company. And the app that we need you to download before you come for that test is called the Navica app, N-A-V-I-C-A. You can go to the Abbott site. It's called Navica. You need to input some information, and then you have the app on your phone. When you come for the test, we're able to then download your test results directly onto your phone so you can show that you have test results, and those test results are good for a week. So, again, it's called a Binex Now test. It's a rapid test. It takes all of 15 minutes to get the results back. And the app, in order to keep those results, is called a Navica app, N-A-V-I-C-A, and you can go to the Abbott website and you can find both of them there. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Tony.
Michael, I'm
so
back.
We're on this. Yes, the Cintas question, Marky, is where we are at the moment. If you see at 11:49.
Got it. Hi. Our Cintas told me twice this last month that they're working with VNSNY management to fix a glitch in the system, not allowing refresh. Not showing we have any allotment current on our two shirts. I think this is about the uniform ordering. Marian, is this something that you have knowledge of?
It's not, but I will make sure that we find out what's happening and get back to this individual and anyone else impacted by it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next is a comment. It's not a good idea that for the patient to give our phone number to patients, as they will call the nurse, and in an emergency, that's not a good idea for them to do that. So I agree with you, and we'll try to find another solution. Next question If VNSNY staff unblock their individual VNSNY cell phones by pressing star 82, it defeats the purpose of, of protecting clinician privacy and patient access. If there's a workaround to press buttons to have the call center phone number populated instead, please send agency-wide instructions so we all know how. Michael, is there more you want to add to this?
Well, what I would say, since this is happening in real time, is that both that question and the comment before are very reasonable in terms of the rationale for why we have blocked the phone numbers in the first place. The prior questioner was a person who, in our hospice unit, who might have a need in the near term where they don't want their phone number blocked. With respect to this idea of a workaround to press buttons to have the call center phone number populate, from what I know at the moment, unfortunately, that's not possible based on how Verizon delivers service to mobile devices. But it's a creative solution that we will take back and see, because those involved here have identified a real dilemma, a real problem. How do we get through to our patients so that they answer the calls without providing the phone numbers of ours, so that they call you constantly? And we'll work through this particular suggestion to see where it lands. Thank you.
Thank you. And I apologize to all that I got dropped, but I got dropped and I had trouble getting back in. So I'm glad to be able to have returned to the call. That was the last question that we had received in advance, as well as a question that came in during the course of this meeting. It's now 11:57. So with that, I will conclude the call. Please stay safe, and hopefully you'll be able to join our call again next week. Thank you.